Hello, I'm David Suchet for Focus on the Family Radio Theatre. Almost 400 years ago, the Western world saw an unprecedented time of exploration and discovery. Men in ships left their countries of France, Spain, and England to venture to the wild, uncharted realms of what became known as the New World. But the explorers didn't find uninhabited lands. They came upon an entire civilization of Indian tribes, people whose ancestry stretched back for centuries. For some, the Indians represented an opportunity for trade and understanding. Others saw the Indians as a race to be exploited. It is against this backdrop that our story takes place. Early in the 17th century, one man found himself caught in the conflict between the arriving Europeans and the Native Americans. As a result, he experienced great pain, tragedy, and surprisingly, a mercy that may inspire us today. Join us now as Focus on the Family Radio Theatre presents The Legend of Squanto.
Listen while I tell you a story. It is the story of a boy who became a great brave, an orphan of one tribe who became the brother of many, a slave who set captives free, a warrior who became a courageous peacemaker. You know of him. Our people speak of his legend to this day, though his spirit long ago departed. He was a child of the Pawtuxet tribe on what they now call Cape Cod. Our hearts race when we think of them and their village and the change that came when the Europeans first arrived. The French traded with all our tribes. Later came the English with their vast ships, enticing ways, and dark hearts.
Well, Captain Hunt, I believe His Majesty will be most impressed with the success of our voyage. You'll continue down the coast?
Yes. I will take my ship to this point, negotiating with the savages. The
Indians, Captain, if you please.
Yes, right. Having negotiated with the various tribes along the way, we will then return to England.
Any efforts to thwart the French and their trading agreements will bode well for the ones who accomplish it.
No one has accomplished more than the illustrious Captain John Smith. I am your servant and staunch admirer. Farewell, sir.
God speed you on your travels, Captain Hunt.
Beg pardon, Captain Hunt, but did you say we were returning to England?
You heard correctly, Wallace.
But what of our deal with the merchants in Spain? They're expecting...
I know what they're expecting, and they will not be disappointed. I said we would return to England, but I did not say we would go there directly. Captain Smith thinks these savages are good for negotiations, but I believe they're good for other purposes. Higher paying purposes. Assemble the landing party. Once Captain Smith and his ships have departed, we will go ashore. To negotiate.
Aye, sir.
Captain Hunt was a black-hearted man, filled with greed and deception. That our many tribes have since fallen victim to his ways is a deep sadness to me. But in those days, it was not yet so. We were innocent in our traditions. None more so than young Tisquantum.
You sent for me, Father?
Yes, Tisquantum. Sit down, my son.
Yes, Father.
My son, you have grown rapidly in the last season. You have experienced the great hunt, the ceremony of manhood, and acceptance as the warrior you are. With a full and happy heart, I believe you will one day walk as I have walked. You will be a great sachem.
Thank you, Father.
But a man cannot be a sachem without a woman to help carry his wisdom and feed his strength. That is why I have spoken with Sesamon about his daughter Manachet. You have known her since you were a small child. I know you have great affection for her. That is true?
Yes, it is.
Then you will not resist her as your bride. You would take her to your breast with your whole heart?
Yes, Father, I will.
Good. Then we will settle the matter tomorrow at the tribal meal.
Father, Tisquantum, come quickly. A large boat in the bay. Hurry!
Is it a French ship? Do you think they've come to trade?
It is not French. It is English.
How do you know?
Sir Tosqua of the Nossets told me of the English ships and the colors they carry. They have been negotiating trade with many of the tribes in this country.
Why haven't they traded with us?
They may be here to trade with us now. Will you meet with them, Father?
If they come to greet us in peace, yes. But I see no scouts, no canoes, no representatives.
May I go around to the ridge? I can see more clearly from there.
I'll go with you.
No, Potowic. Stay here.
I want Potowic to go with you to Squantum. Then he may run back to tell me what you see from the ridge.
I will be your messenger.
Yes, son, you will. Now go, both of you.
Yes, sir.
Slow down, Tisquantum.
If you want to be a messenger, you'll have to keep up.
You were trying to get rid of me. Father said I could come.
Well, come then, but please be quiet. How can I scout with you chattering on? Wait. Look.
What?
Don't you see it? A small boat around the cove. There, on the beach.
Ah.
They've come ashore. Quickly, Potowic. Run and tell Father that the English are already... Ah!
Squantum!
Run, Potowic, run!
Father, help! Help!
That was easy enough. Do you want me to go after the little one?
No, too scrawny. We'd never get a good price for him, and he probably wouldn't survive the voyage. This one looks strong. Hey there, lad. You speak English? I didn't think so. Parlez-vous français? Obviously not the talkative type. Take him back to the ship.
That's five, Captain Hunt. Shall we look for more?
I'd like to, but I'm afraid we won't have the room on the ship. He'll be enough for now. Hey, savage! How would you like to see the world?
Hey.
Well, you're going to see it whether you want to or not. At least, you're going to see Spain. Let's go!
I think he wants to say goodbye.
These savages aren't like you and me. They don't care about goodbyes. They live for survival only. No attachments, no family. They hunt and sleep. I even heard they eat their young for dinner. But they'll learn our ways, or die trying. Now keep quiet and maybe you won't get hurt.
Here's some of your mates to keep you company. You can grunt at each other.
Another brother joins us.
What has happened? Who are you?
I am Sassacomet of the Wampanoag tribe.
From the Algonquins, I am Manita.
Sketwaras from the noble Penacooks.
I am Tisquantum of the Pawtuxets. I don't understand. Why have they put us here?
Because they are cowards and would not fight us as honorable men. They sneak and steal like foxes among chickens.
We are hostages then. Will they use us to get food or supplies?
We do not know their minds or their schemes.
It's a mistake.
I said the same thing a week ago. Even as one of their leaders, the one called Captain Smith, smoked the pipe of peace and exchanged gifts with our leaders. This one, with the wolf's eyes.
Captain Hunter.
Made his plans to capture us as slaves.
Slaves?
It is true, young one. I have seen the look in his eyes. It is the same look I have seen in others who have come to steal our people away. A look of greed and spilled blood.
We must fight. We must find a way to escape.
It's of no use, young one. Even if you escape this place of darkness, there are many men to capture you outside.
No, my father will take action. My tribe will wage war.
I'm sure they would, but how will they wage war against a ship like this? Listen to the waves against the side of the boat, young one. We are moving from the land.
No! The Great Spirit would not allow innocent men to die this way.
Die? We will not die, though we may wish it were otherwise.
Our brothers were captives for several days in the dark belly of the great English boat. Water and cornmeal were brought to them, but they did not see the light of the sun, nor speak to the English captain. Tisquantum thought of his tribe, his home. He thought how his mother would suffer and weep, how his stern-jawed father would betray no emotion. He thought of his brother and baby sister, of the bride he now might never marry. His heart grew heavy as a stone. But it was not hard. It broke into small pieces that melted and became tears in his eyes. He thanked the Great Spirit for the darkness so the other braves would not see him cry. One day, as the sun was at its highest, the doorway to their prison was open.
Everybody up! The captain wants to see you. Still don't understand English? Get up! On your feet! Come with me. Here they are, Captain.
Excellent. You better douse them with water after this, Wallace.
Aye, Captain.
Now, let's see if I can make you savages understand what I'm saying. Look here. These are called maps. Do you see these drawings? You are from here. That is your home. Village. Well, this is going to be a long voyage if I had to do this the whole way.
You want me to teach them?
Yes. And get that rascal we captured in Madrid to teach them the rudimentaries of Spanish. It'll add to their value.
Aye, sir.
And where was I? Oh, yes. Your home, here. We are on the ocean, here. Big water. You see? Escape is impossible. Unless you want to drown or be eaten by sharks. You understand? To continue, we are taking you here, to Malaga, Spain. There, I will sell you as slaves. You old Indians fetch a good price in Spain. On the way, you will eat food. Yum, yum! I will also allow you to walk on the deck. The top of big canoe. Sunlight, if you behave yourselves. Besides, the healthier you are, the better the price. When you can speak some English, I will have questions for you. I want to know about trade routes and the sizes of your tribes and... Oh, never mind. This is trying my nerves, Wallace. Get them out of here.
Aye, aye, Captain. Come on, you uncivilized brutes!
The sun and the moon changed hands. The wind and the waves toyed with the ship. Storms came so fiercely that the braves cried out to the Great Spirit to cease his anger and spare them all. Captain Hunt allowed them to walk in the bright sun and fresh air on deck, but he also made them learn foreign tongues, English and Spanish. Tisquantum, the youngest captive, could not help but be impressed with the workings of the great English boat and by the vastness of the waters. And when, in time, they saw land on the horizon, he felt a quickening in his heart. How many of his tribe had ever traveled so far? How many would ever see the lands beyond the mighty waters? In the secret places of his heart, he believed that he could learn wonders from the white man's world. Wonders he would take back to share with his tribe. But he was still young in years and did not understand where he was being taken and for what purpose. He did not understand truly the meaning of the word slave.
Move along, savages! And don't pretend you can't understand me. Keep your heads up! We want your future owners to be impressed.
Wallace, move them. Quickly. We don't have time to dawdle.
Something wrong, Captain?
It's the local priests again. They have promised to put a stop to any slave auctions, so we have to hurry before they find out. The church has eyes and ears everywhere.
You heard the Captain, savages. Quick now!
For attention,
the auction is starting.
rare privilege this day. Our good friend, Captain Hunt, has joined us. Now, most of you know the captain and have been fully satisfied with his merchandise in the past, huh? Today would be no exception. He has brought to us 5 Indians from the New World. We will start the bidding immediately. One never knows when we could be interrupted, huh? So, step up, gentlemen. Undo the knots in your purse strings and make your pleasure known, huh?
One by one, our brothers were traded for pieces of gold and silver. One by one, they were dragged away in chains. Yet they acted bravely, with the courage and honor expected of our tribes. Captain Hunt offered Tisquantum last, knowing that his youth and strength would bring a greater price.
Now, we have been generous until now. We have allowed you to steal from us with such low bids. But we have here the best of the lot. You see him for yourselves. Strong body and a quick mind. Do you understand my words, Indian?
Yes, I do.
¿Entiendes, Indio?
Sí.
English and Spanish. He learned with a hunger that those other older Indians could not achieve. Imagine what you could do with a servant like him. So, where shall we start our bidding, eh? 20 pounds sterling, hmm? Yeah? What do I hear?
Nada. You will hear nothing. And you will receive nothing.
What's this all about? Who is that?
Be calm, Captain Hunt. Take the chains off of the Indian quickly, huh? Father Juan, it is so good to see you today. We did not expect you to join us for our little gathering.
Gathering, huh? You are a merchant of flesh, Ortega. And I am here to put a stop to it.
No, no, Father, you misunderstand. We are gathered here to greet our friends from the New World.
I am not fooled by your smile or your lies. You know the church expressly forbids slavery. I will not have it. Is this the only poor soul you are selling today, or am I too late?
Father, be reasonable.
I am too late, then. But this one you will not have.
Just wait, Padre. This one belongs to me.
Belongs to you? We belong only to God, Captain.
No, he didn't mean belongs, Father. He mean only they have traveled together. A great distance, as friends.
I am to believe that this slave dealer has merely befriended an Indian? Tell me, my young Indian, are you his friend?
He can't talk to you. He speaks only Indian.
Is that true, young Indian?
I speak little Spanish and English.
Only a little.
Good. Then you must know enough of our language to be able to explain to me how you are supposedly the captain's friend. Yet suffer the marks of chains on your wrists and ankles.
I've had enough of this.
Captain, please.
I will not be threatened nor bullied, Captain. I act under the authority of the church, and this man will come with me for protection.
You don't act under the authority of my church.
Nonetheless, I act with the authority of the church accepted by all who are here. They may risk their mortal souls by standing against me, but I suspect that they will not. Or have I misjudged the people of my parish, Ortega?
No, Father.
Then we will leave now. And you may be certain that the governor and I will have words about this evil enterprise. Come, my child.
I am leaving with you?
Yes, you are. Come.
This is intolerable. Dare the church interfere with our business.
I warned you, Father Juan has been like that since he arrived a year ago.
I won't have it. I didn't bring that Indian all this way just to hand him over to a priest. He's worth a lot of money to me.
Oh, you sold 4. You would have lost them to Father Juan if he'd arrived any sooner. Consider yourself lucky.
I'll consider myself lucky when you pay me what I lost.
I am under no obligation, Captain.
Then don't tell me how to consider myself. I want that Indian back. Church or no church, I'll get him!
Sit down, my son, please. You must be weary. Here, have some water and bread. So, you speak Spanish and English?
A little.
A little will help a lot, my son. What is your name?
Disquantum, of the Pawtuxets.
I am Father Juan, of the Christians.
You are great chief.
Me, chief? Oh, no, no. I am a servant. A servant of God.
God? The Great Spirit?
That depends on whether by Great Spirit you mean the God of all creation.
I do not understand.
You will in time. But first you must tell me from where you've come.
From where?
Where is your home, your tribe, your village?
Across the great waters.
I assumed as much. Let's see if I have a map. Ah, a map. It's an old map. You won't find many of the new countries on it.
Father Juan!
Yes? Ah, Ortega.
They're coming.
Who?
Captain Hunt and his crew. They want the Indian back.
Well, they can't have him.
But they are prepared to... They're ready to do anything. They have no regard for you or the church. Please, Father, give him back to them, and then they will live in peace.
Oh, you sound afraid, Ortega. These are old business partners of yours. Why are you afraid?
I am afraid for you. Please, Father.
They cannot take this man and sell him into slavery. I will not allow such a thing. It is an offense to God.
Then run, hide. You must not be here when they come.
I will not run nor hide. Now leave us in peace, Ortega. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Father.
Thank you, Ortega. Goodbye.
I bring grief to your home.
Not at all. Miguel? Miguel! I will not run and hide, but we must get you to safety.
I will stay by your side and fight, like a man.
There'll be no fighting here.
Yes, Padre.
I want you to take this Tisquantum to the monastery.
But he's an Indian.
Is he? I hadn't noticed. How observant of you. Now, move quickly. Tell the Father Prior that he is to treat this Tisquantum as one of our brothers. I will come as soon as I can.
Yes, Padre. You come with me to Big House in Mountain.
He's an Indian, Miguel, not an idiot.
Yes. Sorry, Padre.
I wish to stay with you, to face my captors on Field of Honor.
Your captors have no honor, my son. Now, obey me and go. I will deal with them, then come to you as soon as I can. Miguel?
Yes, Padre.
Why are you still standing there?
Yes. Let us go, Tisquanto.
Tisquantum.
Tisquantum did not want to run away. As he and the one called Miguel rode a donkey into the Spanish mountains, he thought of his home, his family, and of his brothers who had been sold into slavery. His heart burned with anger. Captain Hunt and his men arrived at the home of Father Juan. They were filled with the rage caused by white men's drink. Father Juan stood tall and met them at the door.
What do you want?
I want my savage back.
He's not your savage.
Bloody priest. I'll tear your house apart.
Tear my house apart. Tear me apart. And you will not find him. He is gone. I have conducted him to safer parts of our country.
I want compensation.
Your compensation is that God may spare you his wrath for your offense.
My offense? Listen to me, priest. I want payment for that Indian. You can hand it over willingly, or my men will squeeze it out of you.
You will not receive a pound nor a peso from me.
Then we'll take it in kind from your house. Wallace!
Yes, sir.
You know what you have to do?
All right, men. Take the house! Captain Hunt! Stop!
What is this? An ambush? Ortega?
Take your men back to your ship, Captain Hunt, or risk bloodshed at the hands of the governor's guard.
This is none of your affair.
There you are wrong. We cannot sit back and allow you to threaten one of our priests.
You hypocrite! You're a slave trader as well!
I am a simple businessman, yes, and I know that attacking priests in the name of commerce is bad for business. Take your men away.
I won't forget this, Ortega.
You will not forget until you have another shipment to sell to us. Farewell, Captain.
Back to the ship, Wallace.
Aye. You heard the captain. Everyone back to the ship.
I never suspected such courage of you, Ortega.
I am particularly courageous when supported by the governor's guards. Good night, father.
Good night. I will expect to see you in confession tomorrow.
Yes, father.
2 full moons passed Fortis Quantum at the monastery in the mountains. The monks, as they are called, treated Tisquantum with kindness. They taught him of their god and their worship and their ways of releasing the Earth's great bounty. Tisquantum was like the dry ground in the rain, drinking in as much as they gave. But his tribe he never forgot. It was his desire to return one day to teach them all he'd been taught by the monks.
You see, Tisquantum, we use the fish remains as fertilizer. Even in this soil, it aids the growth of the vegetables. We have a wonderful harvest as a result. God has been good.
Yes, your God is a powerful God.
Is he not your God as well?
I believe in your God, but I still cannot understand how it is that he became a man, to walk the earth like us and die.
Can any of us truly understand it? Yet he did. You have seen our scriptures.
The sacred words.
Yes. He took our sins to the cross and then rose again on the third day to defeat death.
But he did so for you and other Europeans. I am an Indian.
Under this flesh, we are no different. What he did for the entire world.
Even Captain Hunt and others who steal men to make them slaves?
Yes. He died even for Captain Hunt. If only for Captain Hunt. His love and forgiveness are that vast.
I would respect your God more if he would punish Captain Hunt.
And other sinners like him.
Yes.
Then he would have to begin with me. He would have to kill me first, Tisquantum.
But you are a good man.
I may seem good, but I am corrupt. Like you, like Captain Hunt. Our sins may not be so obvious to the human eye, nor so great by human measurements, but they are there, everyone, for God to see. It is for those sins that God's son died, great or small.
This is a mystery to me.
Yes, it is. But a mystery I pray you will embrace with your whole heart before you go.
Before I go? Am I to go somewhere?
I receive a message from Father Juan this morning. He wants you to return to Malaga with us when we take our crops to market. He says he has good news for you.
What good news?
I have found a way to get you home, my son. Back to your land and your people.
How can this be accomplished?
I have an acquaintance who is a trader. Not like Captain Hunt. He is honorable and filled with the love of God. He conducts business in England, sometimes on behalf of our king, and knows a wealthy merchant named John Slaney. We have discussed the matter, and he is a confidant that once he gets you to England, you will then find the means to return to the New World through Mr. Slaney.
As a slave?
No, no. You will go as a servant. A valuable servant who is intelligent and noble and speaks not only your own tongue, but also the tongues of the Spanish and the English. If the English are half as smart as I think they are, they will find you of great service to them.
I am sorry, Father, but my heart is heavy. I do not trust the English.
Oh, listen, my child. Every nation has its Captain Hunts, those who persecute and oppress. Not all Englishmen are like him.
Are there Christians in England?
Yes, I suppose so. Though most are not members of our church.
They believe in your God and in your Jesus, But are not part of your tribe?
No.
How can this be?
It's a long, long story. And would only confuse you. It confuses me at times. Now, gather your things. Your journey begins this very day.
So quickly?
My acquaintance leaves on a ship this very night.
But this would require us to say goodbye.
Not goodbye, Tisquantum. Till we meet again.
Will we meet again, Father?
Accept the love and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And yes, we will meet again.
Perhaps one day. But I cannot make my heart yield now. It is too restless and still too full of hate against those who stole me from my people.
Then I will pray for you, my son, and God will work in your heart.
Thank you, Father, for all you've done.
Come, your ship awaits.
Tisquantum was taken to meet Father Juan's friend, the noble Luis Valdez. For the second time in his life, Tisquantum entered a large boat, but this time, he did not sleep in the dark hold as a slave, but entered the quarters as the nobleman's servant. They departed Malaga, Spain, that night. Tisquantum watched the land grow faint on the horizon and gave thanks for his new freedom, not to a distant great spirit, but to the God of Father Juan and Miguel and all the compassionate monks who had treated him as a brother. A new adventure was about to begin. Tisquantum was taken by Luis Valdez from Spain to a large English village called Southampton. It is where many of their boats reach shore. Luis Valdez, who was kind and wise about the white man's ways, knew that Tisquantum's worth was not in his skills as a servant, but in his knowledge as an Indian. There were many merchants in the great English city called London who hoped to establish trade with the tribes in our land, a land they called America. Tisquantum could help them to understand the ways of our people. So it was that Luis Valdez brought Tisquantum to meet a gentleman named John Slaney. Mr. Slaney was a man who knew much about money. He was what the white man called a treasurer for the Newfound Land Company, a tribe of men who wanted to make business with our people.
So, you are Tisquantum. Well, it is a pleasure to meet you, young man. Louis Valdez spoke highly of you. I hope I'll not be disappointed.
I hope you will not as well be.
We shall have to work on your English.
Yes, sir.
And ultimately, when I think you're ready, there are men to whom you will be introduced. Men who have power and influence. They will want to hear you speak of your country and your people. And they will want you to assist us with our plans to make trade agreements.
I will not help you to make slaves of my people.
Slaves? Good heavens, dear boy. We have no interest in that.
Your Captain Hunt had a great interest in it.
Yeah, Captain Hunt is an exception. We are not all cutthroats in our business dealings. Allow me to speak plainly, young man. You want to go home. Well, I can see to it that you are returned home. But it will be on one of our trade ships. And before I can persuade the men with money to allow our trade ships to go, I must impress them with your knowledge. Now, do you understand me?
If I help you to get what you want, you will help me to get what I want.
Precisely.
I will do what I can.
Excellent, excellent. Now, for the time being, I'll employ you as a servant. Now, this will enable you to see London, learn our ways, our speech, and mostly get you out of those monk's clothes. What? Into something civilized. When we get home, I'll get Mr. Dilber to fetch my tailor immediately. It's time you, my friend, had a change of wardrobe. What?
Tisquantum was dressed as an Englishman.
Please, do not pull at the lace. Mr. Slaney will not approve.
But it makes my skin itch. I have slept on anthills that were not as annoying.
He was taught the ways of the English.
The fork goes on the left-hand side of the plate. An inch and a half is the recommended distance. No, that's a fish fork. And that's a pastry fork. Yes, that's the correct one. Now let's start with the spoons.
He saw firsthand the great cities of the English.
Stay close to me, Tisquantum.
I wish they wouldn't stare at me.
They've never seen anything like you. Only women braid their hair in this country. Perhaps we should have tucked it up under your hat.
I said I didn't want to come.
No, it's not as bad as all that. We'll buy our fish and vegetables and go.
Too many people. Too much noise.
This is London, young man, not your monastery. If you're to be presentable to Mr. Slaney's employers, you must grow accustomed to their ways.
Well now, what have we got here?
Good day, Mr. Larson.
Mr. Dilber, this must be the famous Indian I keep hearing about.
It is. And I'd be grateful if you'd not make a scene.
A scene? Well, you can't parade this freak and not expect a scene. Does it speak English?
You know very well that he does.
Well, why won't he talk to me then? Talk to me, savage.
Oh, he's rude.
No ruder than you are, sir.
Well, talk to me, Indian.
Oh, please, Tisquantum, just say something so we can get on with our business.
Yeah, say something.
Ugh.
Oh, that's clever. Now, maybe you just don't understand me, is that it? Let me speak in your language, then.
Mr. Larson.
Oh, no, I can do it, you know. I can speak Indian. Go on, answer me, savage.
We are amused, Mr. Larson. Thank you.
Go on! Answer me, you long-haired monkey!
If you'll excuse us...
I won't. No. Until he answers me. Impolite freak! I'm talking to you!
Come along, Tisquantum.
Oh, no, you don't. I want the savage to talk to me. Or if he won't talk, maybe he'll give me something else. How about a lock of his hair, eh?
Put away the knife, Mr. Larson.
Cut off his braid. And I'll hang it in my...
Ow! Let go of me, you savage!
Drop the knife.
Look, you Indian, I won't...
All right!
Are you satisfied?
Thank you.
Can't take a joke, is that it, savage? You need to keep your monkey on a leash, Mr. Dilber.
You got less than you deserve, Mr. Larson.
Yeah, we'll see about it.
See about whatever suits you. But inasmuch as my employer, Mr. Slaney, is in a position to speak to your employer, I suggest you be very careful. Mr. Slaney prizes Tisquantum highly. I'm certain you'd find it terribly embarrassing to lose your situation over what you call a joke.
Is that so, Mr. Dilber?
That is so, Mr. Larson. Good day.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dilber. I hope I did not inconvenience you.
Frankly, I'd hoped you were going to scalp him with that knife.
That's a French custom, Mr. Dilber. It is not what we Indians do.
French? I'm not a bit surprised.
Tisquantum not only learned of the white man's life, he also learned more of the white man's religion.
I'm sorry, sir, but you'll simply have to explain it to him. I have tried my best and failed.
Well, now calm yourself, Mr. Dilber. What is the question?
He wants to go to church this Sunday.
Yes, and so he should.
A Catholic church?
What? I'm sorry, dear boy, but it can't be done.
May I ask why?
Well, because we're Englishmen, and the English do not submit to Roman authority. Good King Henry VIII made sure of that, as did our beloved Queen Elizabeth. So if you're going to church, you'll have to go to our church.
Do you not worship the same God?
Well, yes, yes, I suppose you could say we do.
The same son of that God, Jesus Christ.
Well, yes, yes. And no, our understanding of Jesus Christ is different from what the Catholics believe.
Yet you read the same sacred words.
Yes, yes, the Bible. Yes, yes, we do read the Bible. However, what they read and what we read results in two different interpretations. Do you understand?
No.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
If you believe in God and his son, Jesus Christ, then why do you not agree?
Why do we not agree? Well, because we... help me, Mr. Dilbert. I'm not the Archbishop of Canterbury, you know.
I've been trying to explain it to him all morning.
We simply don't agree, Tisquantum. Confound it, ma'am. Don't you Indians ever disagree? One big happy family, huh? Is that what you all are?
We do not always agree. We wage war and fight about hunting grounds and matters of honor. But we do not disagree about the Great Spirit and the brotherhood of our tribes.
Well, that's not the English way. We argue about everything, particularly religion and politics, which, of course, are never discussed in polite society.
If you do not discuss them, then how do you disagree?
Yes, well, now, that, sir, is the true mystery of our people. And meanwhile, you'll have to be content with our church.
Tisquantum went to the sacred place where the English met their god. It was very, very large.
It is called a cathedral.
Yes.
Your god must be very big. Bigger than the god of the monks in Spain. We met him in a small chapel.
God is not large or small, Tisquantum. He simply is.
Then why do you have such a large meeting place for him?
Because we want to do him honor. We believe that large buildings like cathedrals bring praise to him. It lets him know how much we love him. But that doesn't mean he won't meet people in smaller buildings. Honestly, you Indians are so literal. God is bigger than our world, and yet he can fit within your heart. That'll keep you thinking for a while, won't it?
Father Juan said the very same thing.
Well, there you are, then. We don't disagree about everything. Huh? Now, do be quiet. The church service is about to start.
Many moons came and went. Tisquantum observed the English and learned all he could from them. With their strange-smelling oils, which they spread on their bodies, their painted faces, their false hair, which they wore like funny hats, and their decorative clothes, which would not last a single moon in the wilderness. Tisquantum was doubtful that these people had the courage or honor to do more than eat, drink, and sleep away their days. He took comfort in this thought. If he helped the English to trade with the tribes, he knew they could never do his people much harm. Mr. Slaney at last decided that it was time for Tisquantum to meet his employer, Mr. Ferdinando George, and a ship's captain named Thomas Dermer. They sat down together at a great table and ate large quantities of food.
Right now, Slaney, we have had a splendid meal. Yeah. Let's get on with it.
Yes, bring out this Indian we've heard so much about.
And what, pray tell, have you heard about Tisquantum?
Oh, don't be coy. You know very well, he's the talk of London.
Oh, is he?
Well, what did you think? That you could bring an Indian to London, dress him up as an Englishman, and not have people notice him?
That's all my servants talk about. How they saw the Indian at the market, or running an errand for you. I met with some members of Parliament just last Tuesday. They were talking about him.
Parliament, you say? I'm glad to hear of it.
I've also heard that you've been taking him to church. Church, Slaney. Have you become a missionary to the heathen now?
Well, he is interested, and I would not deny him the opportunity to learn more of our God.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. Now, will you please do us the honor of introducing him?
I will indeed. Mr. Dilber, please bring in Tisquantum.
Yes, sir.
Slaney, you know how anxious the Newfoundland Company is about the colonies. We've had our share of successes and failures there, so the stockholders are wary.
As your treasurer, I'm more than aware of their feelings.
All that notwithstanding, we fear that if we don't move more quickly, the French will gain a foothold on the lands we are interested in. Our desire is for New England to stay as New England.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. It's my intention to impress you enough with what Tisquantum has to say that you and the stockholders of the company will take instant action. Ah, here he is. Gentlemen, I give you Tisquantum of the Pawtuxet tribe near Cape Cod. And Tisquantum, allow me to introduce Mr. Fernando George and Captain Thomas Dermer.
It is a pleasure to meet you, gentlemen.
Delightful.
Most impressive.
Now then, gentlemen, shall we retire to the drawing room, where Tisquantum will be glad to answer all of your questions.
Indeed.
this way.
Through all the rest of that evening, as the candles grew dim, Tisquantum spoke of our land. He told of the fertile fields, the rich forests, and the clear streams. They asked about the goods traded between the tribes, their agreements with the French, the paths and hunting grounds they used. Mr. Slaney spoke of the soil of New England and how it would accept English seeds for crops. The night grew long. The men talked and talked until Mr. George finally said,
"It can be done. I believe it's possible. Slaney, if you and your Indian..."
Tisquantum, sir.
Of course. If you can make as effective a demonstration to the stockholders as you have to us, we'll have the investment we need.
Yes.
The king will have to grant us a new charter. Wouldn't you say, Captain Dermer?
Oh, yes, sir. It sounds promising enough.
Leave it to me to make the arrangements. Oh, this is good, Slaney. This is very good.
Well, thank you, Mr. George. And thank you, Tisquantum.
I'm at your service, sir.
Mr. George worked hard to impress his rich white friends that an expedition to our land would fill their purses with much gold. Several moons came and went. Then the news came to Mr. Slaney's house that the great white chief, King James, had given them permission to sail three of their large ships to New England under Captain Dermer.
Open a bottle of wine, Mr. Dilber. This is a day of celebration.
Yes, sir.
Sit down, Tisquantum. Or stand. Or dance, I don't care. I couldn't be happier with the news.
I see your happiness, Mr. Slaney.
What? Oh, come now. How can you look so stern-faced? Don't you know what this means?
I know it means that you and the Newfoundland Company will try to make a lot of money.
But is that all it means to you?
You have not spoken of anything else.
Oh, I understand now. My dear boy, have you been amongst the English all this time, and you still don't understand unless you're spoken to directly?
Indians are raised to be plain and forthright in their speaking.
All right then. Let me speak plainly to you. You think I've forgotten what I told you at the beginning, right? Put your heart to rest. I have not forgotten. Captain Dermer's expedition for America will leave very soon, and you, my friend, will be with him. Huh? Yes, I have secured your place as his translator and guide.
Your wine, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dilber. Tisquantum, I drink to you and to your voyage home.
Home.
When Tisquantum arrived at Captain Dermer's ship, his heart was heavy. While he longed to see his own people again, he knew that Mr. Slaney had made him welcome as a member of another tribe, the Englishman's tribe.
And no point in getting sentimental, Tiscrotima. Well, I'll miss you. All the very best of luck, dear boy. And God be with you.
Farewell, Mr. Slaney. I am grateful to you and...
Now, do stop and get on the boat. You know how we English hate emotional scenes.
Yes, sir. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
As a young man, Tisquantum was stolen from his people and his land. Now he turned his face into the salty wind and looked forward to his return as a brave warrior who had seen more in a few years than most would see in a lifetime.